Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen.
And we're the Love Letter Squad.
Yes, we are, and we welcome you to another Love Letters Live, where we bring you another wonderful guest who has a story to tell and letters, love letters to talk about. And I'm just going to go right to our guest, actually. It's Johnny Funcheap, who many of you may know from his website and what he does in society. The place he holds in a modern society is so endearing and so really essential. And Johnny Funcheap is actually Johnny Hayes. And Johnny, please, you take it right from here and tell about how you came to do what you do.
Well, thanks for having me. Basically, what I do is I run a website, and it's called FunCheapSF.com. And it lists what I try to list, all the free and really affordable things to do in San Francisco. When I moved to San Francisco in, I think it was 2001, I was unemployed, and I didn't know anybody. I had one friend who then moved a month after I came.
Oh.
And I was just trying to survive and have fun. I had no money. And I put together a little list of events for myself.
What made you do? Oh, for yourself.
Just for myself of, you know, what am I going to do with my days? I didn't know anybody. And so I tried to put together a little list of all the things that I could find to do in San Francisco that were free. And the few friends that I had in the city, I sent out a little email to them. And I said, hey, who wants to join me for these, any of these things? And my friends then said, oh, well, make sure you send me this list next week.
Oh,
and I said, I
yes.
have a list.
Yes.
And so I sent it out the next week, and then they said, oh, can you add my other friend to this list? I had never thought of the concept before.
So it grew on you.
It grew on me.
But, you know, that's such a tribute to your personality, coming to a new city, knowing nobody, not having a job, and not falling into isolation and depression.
Well, but, you know, I did dabble into that a little bit.
Sure, you can't help but feel lonely, but look what you did about it.
Yeah, you know, and I was inspired by, you know, I think on Craigslist there was activity partners section, and I had to struggle with, did I want to go down that path? What does that mean to me?
Oh, that means somebody you find to go to things with?
Yeah, not necessarily to date, but somebody to just
hang out with.
I need somebody to hang out with to do something, and you know, I had to decide it was okay for me to reach out and want to do that in a new city. And I met a very nice guy who ran a little group of people who went to go see rock concerts together. And they were so nice. And I thought, what a great idea. I didn't know that this even existed. And so then I started it, and it worked out. And
okay, so tell us how it grew from your friends who said, send me a list.
Yeah, so I was just sending a list to my friends of just, you know, here's the street festival happening this week. Here's a book reading I'd like to go to here, you know, this type of thing. And then one day I thought, well, Craigslist really worked out for finding concerts to go to. I'll put this list on Craigslist and just say, is there anybody else out there who would be interested in getting this list every week? I didn't know. And the first week, I had 100 people email me.
Oh, my.
And the second week, I had 100 people email me. And the third week, I had 120 people email me.
And what are you up to now? What was the date of that?
This is around 2003. And I thought, there's a lot of people out there like me who are just looking for a connection and looking for something fun to do and don't have any money and think that the city is not for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, why not share the little knowledge that I have and then ask people what their suggestions are.
But even for people who do have money and can afford to go to things that, you know, where tickets are expensive, you focus on things that are so interesting that it doesn't matter. I mean, I know that on your list you have, as you say, book readings and lectures and things that everybody would want to know about.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, being cheap isn't necessarily being poor.
Right.
And it's not having, you know, no culture or anything.
Right.
It's just, you know, this is such a vibrant city. We all live here, I think, for a reason. A lot of us have chosen to live here because of the culture, because of the style, of the way that people interact with each other. And there are so many interesting, creative people and artists in the city who are...
So you're saying, artists, tell us some of the categories you deal with.
Well, let's see. A lot of what I try to find are the real basics about what makes the city fun. You know, the street fairs, the festivals, things, of course, like Beta Breakers and the fireworks shows and that kind of stuff. But I try to, if I can, really dive down into the dark little corners of artistry in the city. In the inner Richmond, there is a quirky little art gallery called the Franken Art Mart that I don't know if you'd ever come across. I don't even think there's a bus line that goes within, you know, 5 minutes of it. But they host a free hot dog day once a month, and you come in and you can buy art, and it's very affordable. And they have a wheel that you can spin. That's the wheel of prices, and it says 10% off, leave your own art in exchange for a piece of heart.
Oh, my goodness.
Or even 10% on.
So who would know about this?
Who would know about these things? And so I try to find not only the big events that would appeal to a lot of people, but the little, you know, maybe the little businesses or the little artists that I think are what makes San Francisco fantastic. And I'm fortunate enough right now with having the website to have a flashlight and be able to point these things out.
Now, how many people do you send to now?
So right now the list is coming up on 13,000.
Oh, my God. Goodness gracious.
So it must be the Greater Bay Area.
Yeah. I mean, I predominantly focus on San Francisco, uh-huh. but most things that are accessible by BART, we have a large readership in the East Bay, so I do focus on Contra Costa County and Oakland and Berkeley. And when I can, I dip into the peninsula and San Jose and in the North
Bay. And do you
as well.
Like us to email you and let you know about things that we know about?
Absolutely.
Why don't you say your website?
Yeah, so
we'll say it again later.
I'm only one guy. I do the best I can. I read a lot. I get tons of people emailing me, but I rely on my readers and local businesses and artists to let me know what's happening. And so the website is funcheapsf.com. And there's a little submit event tab that you can click on. And whether you are, say, an artist and you're having an art gallery opening, or you've decided to have a bagel tossing event or whatever it is that you do, or you just know of something, mm-hmm. I rely on my readers to let me know. That's how I can have such great coverage of the city, is I have this army of interested, outgoing people that want to share their information, and I just take it and share it right back.
So you're really a one of a kind.
Well, there's a lot of people who do what I do in different aspects, but I think I'm one of the only ones that looks specifically for the free and the cheap events. There's some other people who do, and when I find stuff on their sites, I always like to give them credit because they're very helpful.
You're such a gracious, outgoing, giving human being. So what's the relationship you have with your 13,000 people?
Well, it's interesting. It started out with a very top-down approach of I am writing all the events, I am finding all the events, and you will read them.
Uh-huh.
And then I started getting events submitted from people and nice notes from people. You know, when I first started doing this, Fun Cheap, I didn't know anybody read it. I mean, I knew there were people signed up on the emailing list, but are they real people? They're just, you know, letters and ampersand and an at sign and a .com, and that's all I know. And then I started getting little notes from people that said, you know, things like, thank you very much for telling me about the ballerina pie fight. I would have never known about that. I really appreciate it. I thought, that's nice. And then I got one of my favorite ones. I'll have to edit it a little bit, but said, you know, Johnny, dude, your site bleeping uh-huh. rocks.
Uh-huh.
Thanks. And that was one of my favorite letters. Yeah. It's just a little short one. And during the tough times of, you know, I have a full-time job, and this is my...
May we ask what that is? Do you want to
tell us? Graphic design, actually, during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And this I do in the evenings and in my spare pockets during the day. And so I've lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
Thank you notes. You were into the thank you notes.
Well, people send me nice notes.
I think the point is that
that you know, I have a full-time job and I have all these things that I do. And it gets very it's time consuming and it's frustrating sometimes and it's exhausting. And these notes, when I get them and I can sense their sincerity, are really fuel that helps keep me going.
Okay, so that's, since we are about love letters, and this is kind of early to start on the exact specifics of what you've received, but why not? You know, we talk about love letters and Love Letters Live as being a presentation about gratitude and how important that is. And I it always seems to me that one of the gifts in a love letter is the gift of having paid attention, that somebody's listening and you're making a difference in somebody's life. You certainly made a difference in ours, personally, and in people I know, the lives of people I know. So when you get something back and you're saying that's the fuel, I like that because it seems to me that that is the life-changing aspect.
Yeah, I never knew how much that these notes would affect me. And this is true. I just thought this is my hobby and this is what I'm doing. And I realized, well, instead, this is a community that I've been fortunate enough to tap into. And these people have been nice enough to let me know there is a community here.
So you have an ongoing relationship with these people. You're not just telling them what they can do.
Right.
You're touching
right.
their lives.
And that's not what I intended.
Well, that happened with us, because Janet alluded to how you helped us. Well, you advertised one of our free workshops, and we got a lot of takers from Johnny Funcheap.
And we got you.
And we got you.
Yes, I came.
And I hope we sent you a thank you note.
Well, I did get a very, very nice note. I don't know if I can read part of it.
You can read anything you like. Let's just start reading letters. But I want to ask you something, because we say, and I don't know your mailing address, which is why you got an email. But in general, I can see that you have taken these emails and printed them out for yourself.
Yes.
So what they lack is the touch of someone else's hand.
They
you
do.
Know, they're not the same as love letters. And I think that's something we like to point out. We're always saying that, you know, an email isn't the same. An email is great, but if you know an actual mailing address and you can do something in your own handwriting in an envelope that comes to the home or business, that's an extra gift, and look at the smile on your face while I'm even saying it.
Well, it's true. I mean, my mailing address is my own, you know, it's not anything that anybody else needs to know.
That's right.
I guess I know that if I did have it out there, people might write an actual letter, which you're
I'm
right.
Sure
there
would.
Is something about having something that is tangible and touched.
And that you're touching the same thing that I've touched.
Yeah, and
like
to
holding
see,
hands.
To yeah. actually see the handwriting. I mean, everybody's handwriting has such a distinct
yes.
character to it.
Yes. But if you can't, if you're in a position where you absolutely cannot write an on paper in your handwriting love letter, you shouldn't be stopped from expressing the love and gratitude you feel. And if you have to send an email because that's your only choice.
Well, then do it.
Well, huh? Thank you, Teresa. Then do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because those are almost as good. In
but
fact,
if you have a choice.
And that's the way we live
yes.
today.
So I'm glad to see that you've typed them out, printed them out, typed them. I'm so old I say typed. Printed them out. And that you'll have them in some treasure box forever.
Yeah. These are coming with me.
Good. Because technology changes, and in 20 years, you're not going to be able to read what's on your computer.
Because of my eyes?
No, well, I don't know about your eyes, but because of technology changing, good point that you ask outright, because you can't access what's on your floppy disks.
From floppy disks.
Yeah, oh, floppy disks, exactly. Okay, so you were going to read to us.
Well, you had said, I don't know if I ever thanked you. Well, here is actually the note after I came to your workshop. And so I had listed, they ran a free workshop in, I think it was South of Market.
Mm-hmm.
It was very nice. It was well attended, basically teaching people really the top overview of, well, why write a love letter? And here are some tools that you can use to write love letters. And to not just think of love letters to my lover, but a love letter can really be expanded to friends, to coworkers,
exactly.
to anybody who's important to you to express their gratitude. And I thought it was a great idea. And I got a very well-written press release about it. And so I wrote about it, and we had a good response from our readership. And I showed up as well. I actually tricked my fiancé.
Oh, that's right.
she wanted to go to the event. And so I said, well, I'll walk you there.
Uh-huh.
But she didn't know I had actually signed up for the workshop myself and sat right down next to her. And so I'll just read you the beginning of the note. This is what you wrote to me afterwards.
And by the way, the reason I wasn't sure, I didn't think I'd written you a thank you is because I don't remember sitting down and doing it by hand, which is what, but go ahead.
It just says, Dear Johnny, I'm blushing when I read this.
Oh, good.
It was such an unqualified joy to have met you the other night at our Love Letters workshop. It was so nice having a chance to talk to you after the workshop was over. You have that perfect combination of pace, enthusiasm, sweetness, open-heartedness and intelligence, emotional generosity, and wanting to see others shine. My idea of a good time. And I thought that was really nice.
Oh,
I mean, it's
felt.
Just, you know, Like you said, you know, having something handwritten is wonderful, but that doesn't mean that using the method that you can, and I didn't give you any other way to contact
That's
me,
right.
can't still be very meaningful. And it was.
Good. I'm glad. So now you talked about a sad moment in your life,
mm-hmm.
loss of a parent, and what can you tell us about that?
Well, a couple of years after I started the list, and at this point I was maybe at about 2,000 or 3,000 people on my list. My father unexpectedly died. We had no idea. He just had a heart attack and died. And the list was something I sort of felt like I wanted to do and was compelled to do. I felt like I was letting people down if I didn't send it out every week. And I had to decide how I was going to handle it because I was in really no state to mm-hmm. continue. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote a note out to everybody on the list.
What did you say?
I wanted to be vague because it really was, I felt, nobody's business, but I wanted to let these people know that things were going to be different. Mm. And so I just wrote, "Hey, everybody, this is Johnny Funcheap. I've had some sad news in my family this weekend, and we'll need to take some time off for the next few weeks. Mm. This is basically a one-man show, so there probably won't be any giveaways or emails of events in the next few weeks. We've already got a lot of great events on our calendar through the end of April, and we'll be updating it periodically. If you posted something to us, we'll try to get to them. But if you receive an email back that says your email's been rejected, please don't take it personally. I love doing this list, convincing venues to give us free tickets, and getting all the great emails and suggestions from you Funcheapers out there. I couldn't do it without you all. So I'm very much looking forward to the first weekend of May, when Funcheap will be back with tons of brand new events and back at full strength. Thanks for your understanding."
And what happened from that?
I had no idea what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I was just looking for a way to unplug.
Sure.
And that's all I wanted. And then almost instantly, from this list of people whom I never knew read, I got in the first day about 100 emails.
I could just cry.
From people whom I had never met before, but who had taken the time to write a heartfelt note. Some were very, very short. Some were long and detailed. And it was so meaningful, not just reading them individually, but to see collectively that there was a community out there. Mm-hmm. And the overall tenor of what they said was exactly what I needed. I didn't know this is what I needed, but it was exactly what I needed.
You going to read us some?
Yeah.
Do you want to?
And some of it's interesting. Some of these I read at the time, but most of them I just let there, and I left them unread. That was meaningful for me to know that when I needed a little bit of support, and I do this with letters sometimes too, I will leave them unread and kind of look at them and wait and anticipate. So I got this letter from a Linda who I'd never met. "Hey, Johnny, my sympathies are with you, whatever has happened. Hope things go well. Look forward to you getting back. But most of all, take care of yourself." Mm. And what that meant to me was, it's okay to unplug. We'll be here when you get back. And I felt such a release to be able to take care of myself and know that I wasn't letting anybody down.
Well, and I think from just what I hear there is it goes deeper than that. It's as much as you give them in terms of what they can do with their evenings and you take care of their social life, mainly they care about you.
Yes. Yeah, that it wasn't just a one-way street
right.
here, that they appreciated what I do. I got another one from a guy who actually ended up meeting about a year later. It was a very nice guy who said, sorry you've had some bad news. I know you don't know me personally, but if there's anything I can do, whether it's take you out for a beer or give you an ear to listen to or anything at all, I'd like you to know that I'm glad to help. I'm in graduate school to be a family therapist, so I'm pretty good at listening and just being there. And he gave me his cell phone number. And just said, hoping for the best for you and my family and your family. Mm-hmm. And I got over 100 emails the first day, and over the course of the next couple of weeks, got about 250 emails in varying lengths, but each of them basically saying exactly what I needed to hear, and it was that they took the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so meaningful that I was able to take care of myself. And when I came back, the welcome back letters I got were just unbelievable. Nobody made me feel bad at all. They just said, I'm really sorry to hear about your loss. My sister had passed away a couple of years ago. This was an example of a letter of people sharing things that were important to them. Allow yourself to cry, find solace in the love of your friends and family, and welcome back. And it let me jump right back in. And I really honestly don't think I could have done it without this wonderful expression of support that my reader showed me that I never expected.
So they're more than your readers. You found out. I mean, you came here. There's a huge difference between the Johnny Hayes who came here and didn't know anybody and didn't know what to do and didn't have any friends here to the Johnny Hayes now who has this actual huge extended family.
Yeah.
People you can count on.
I used to think that they were followers.
Exactly.
And I realized it's a community.
Yes.
And that I was just fortunate to say, look at open up a door and say, look at all these people here. We all have something in common.
Yes, yes. Well, let me ask you something. I know that you brought us a few other letters, and I would just love to hear them. So will you just share them with us? And just, you said you had a couple of favorites there. I mean, I'm sure every letter you get is a favorite, and we don't have time to read
everything,
all that you get. But give us a sentence or two to precede each one and let us know why you got it and what it is, if you would.
I'll just focus on two of them here.
Okay.
And one is when I was courting my fiancé. So these are not fun, cheap letters here. These are personal letters. And I always like to leave a little treasure hunt for somebody. And I use letters and I handwrite them to leave a treasure hunt. So this is one that I wrote while I was away, and I had hidden a little present for my fiancé in the house that I wanted her to be able to find when I was gone. And so I wrote her a letter that said, I've had such a fun trip. I was in Washington, D.C. at the time, but I've really missed you and have been thinking about you a lot, and I can't wait to see you on Wednesday night. Whenever you get this, go take a peek under your side of the mattress.
Mm-hmm.
There's something waiting to be discovered by you. Love, Johnny. And I wanted this to come. I didn't want to tell her it was coming in advance. I wanted her to get it, to look at it, to feel it. She would see my writing on it. And then to know there's something waiting for me here.
And
in
so
house.
What was the result of that?
Well, I'd gotten her a little journal, like a diary and a calendar, and hidden that she needed and wanted. And it had some art on it. She's works in historic preservation. It had some beautiful buildings on it and left for her. And so she found it, and I hope she really liked it. She agreed to marry me.
Who wouldn't?
Did you mail that letter to her, or did you leave it?
No, I mailed it to her.
You were out of town at the time.
I was out of town, and I mailed it to her, and just hoping that I didn't beat the letter home.
Yes, yes.
And then one of the other letters, it's not from me, but it's from my fiancé's mother to her. And it was one of the most amazing letters that I've read recently. It's very short.
Is this something you got recently or before you got married?
This is recently. This was last Christmas that was sent. And the background on this is that my fiancé's grandmother was a true rock star.
Oh, really?
She was a dancer in Chicago. She would take my fiancé out. They'd drive around the country when she was little in a caravan and taught her at the age of 14 how to make margaritas. I mean, the kind of grandma you really want to have. And as she got older, of course, she wasn't feeling as well. And unfortunately, all that I've known the grandma...
Oh, as grandma got older.
As grandma got older, yes, was her failing health. And unfortunately, near the end of last year, she passed away. It hit the family very hard because they were all very close, and she was just such a wonderful woman, sort of the rock of the family, the grandmother. And Shannon's mother, who, of course, would have been grieving herself, wrote this beautiful letter to Shannon. I just kept thinking, well, how hard is it as a mother? You know, you're grieving yourself, but you really have to look after your own daughter.
Yes.
And how selfless. And here was the note. Says, dear Shannon, darling, Grandma always liked to think about Christmas early. During the cruise, they had recently gone on a cruise right before she passed away. During the cruise, we talked about what she would like to give you for Christmas. I mentioned that my grandmother gave me a waffle iron on the first Christmas that I was engaged, and I still use it today. That seemed like the perfect gift, one that would last forever, and that you would always think of her when you used it. That's what she planned to give you this Christmas. So here it is, given with all of her love and with mine, Mom. And I love the selfless nature of that.
Well, let's talk more about this letter, Teresa. Yeah. You look like you're going to burst into tears. Are you okay?
I don't know.
Your eyes are red. Okay, this is... All right, so if you can, because this is so much more, obviously, than a waffle iron. This is passing down history.
Yeah.
And this is passing down grandma, and this is in your mother-in-law's own handwriting, and it will last as long as that waffle iron lasts. And what's it written on? I see something on the back. I'm interested in that.
Oh, no, this is my handwritten copy of it.
Oh, you copied it,
yes.
So you wouldn't... I see.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, but it's written...
Yes.
And this was the one letter that my fiancé would not let me take here for fear that...
Oh, I don't blame her. Okay, good. You never should let an original treasure go out of your
house. She has it. Yes. It's meaningful to her.
Yes.
And I look at this letter almost every day. She has it out. And it's really affected me that this is about, like you said, it's not just a waffle iron. This is the passing down of her tradition.
Mm-hmm.
This is the expression of that we're all thinking about you, and I hope that when Shannon and I have children, that we'll be able to focus completely on them.
I'm sure you will. But, you know, another thing, when you and Shannon have children and when you are, God willing, grandparents yourself, these letters will still be someplace. And those children and grandchildren will know something really important about their own emotional history.
Mm-hmm.
And that is they came from a long line of love and the ability to express it.
Yeah.
We all like knowing we have a good pedigree.
And one of the things that's on these, which I really like, is that the year is written on them as well.
Oh, thank you. Whoopsie daisy, we forgot to say that. Yes, thank you very much. Date is so important. Because when you read a letter, you think you're going to remember it forever because you're 30 years old and, you know, look at it when you're 70 and you're not going to know, most likely.
Right. Or what, Tuesday afternoon. I have so many letters that say, you know, Monday morning or something. Well,
I cheat when I get letters like that and I scribble down the real date on the back just so I'll know or my children will know. Because in addition to so many things, it's really nice to know the exact date on which somebody felt that burst of love or giving. You can put together whole histories.
It helps put it in context.
Yes.
And I go one step further, which it scares me to do this.
What?
Because I don't handle the concept of, you know, dying or not being around very well. That's not something I prefer to think about. And so I make sure I don't just put, you know, Christmas 09. I put 2009.
Oh,
I spell
good.
It
yes.
all out
yes.
because, you know, we don't remember Tuesday morning. Well, eventually 09
can refer to a whole bunch of years.
Can refer to a whole bunch of things.
Right.
And that really, really frightens
good for
me.
You.
But I've decided that for the purpose of history of my own family, that's something, a extra clue
yes.
I'd like to leave
and
people.
That's what these letters are. They are your own history documented in your own hand. And how nice that you made that copy and stick that in the treasure box, too, and put down what you brought it for, maybe.
Well, that's
so
a good
I want
point.
To point out, just because I'm charmed by it, that you're talking about your fiancé's grandmother was a rock star and... You know, and you're grinning as you say this, and it seems to me that whatever your personality is, whatever your chemistry, you seem to just attract fun.
It finds me.
It finds you. Yes,
well,
it does.
I had to be open to it. I mean, like I said, when I moved to San Francisco, I spent a lot of time on the computer playing spades by myself.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're here with us. Thank you so much for doing this, and I hope you'll come back and visit us with some other thing to say someday.
Thank you for having me.
Right. Thank you so much. And to our listeners, we hope you'll join us every week at this time. And please send us email. Janet and I love it. Goes to our website at www.lovelettersquad.com. Love to hear from you. Love to hear your questions. And just time to encourage you all to put your loving thoughts and sentiments into words and send them while you still have the chance.
Yes, and if you send them while you still have the chance, they will be some family treasure for generations.
Right.
Thank
you.
So
till next time, this is Teresa.
And Janet.
Saying bye-bye.
Bye.